doing short messages, I'm trying to keep them less than 15 minutes, a series of messages that I'm doing about Israel and Israel's relationship to the church. So last week, I did a little intro of why I was doing these messages. This week, I want to jump into what exactly is Israel? Like, who is Israel? Why does it matter? And what should the church's response be to who Israel is? And so, because I'm keeping these messages short, I'll just kind of get into a little bit. I'll cover more next week. This is not any one of these messages is intended to be a comprehensive study of any of these concepts. So I just kind of talking about what I feel like the Lord is putting on my heart each week, building a kind of a narrative about Israel and her prophetic destiny in the Bible from a Christian perspective and how we can cooperate with God in that. Okay, so Israel is the family line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is actually really clear throughout the Bible. God calls himself the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as the three main patriarchs of the faith. And we'll get into some of these passages today. But just in a nutshell, Israel's a family. Israel's a family that was called out of the nations to be the carrier of the Messiah, to be the family that would bear the redemptive purpose of God into the earth. Okay, so Genesis 11 and Genesis 12 are really the genesis or the beginning of the nation of Israel and the story of Abram, who later became Abraham, being called out of his family as his family was actually being called out of Babylon. Okay, so Genesis 11, 26 to 32, it says this. It tells the story of Terah, who is Abram's dad. After Terah was 70 years old, he became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. This is the account of Terah's family. Terah was the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran, and Haran was the father of Lot. So if you know the Bible, you know that Lot was Abraham's nephew. Lot's dad was Haran, okay? But Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, the land of his birth, while his father, Terah, was still living. Meanwhile, Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. Milcah and her sister Ishka were daughters of Nahor's brother Haran. But Sarai, I think that's how you pronounce her name, was Sarah, was unable to become pregnant and had no children. One day, Terah took his son Abram, his daughter-in-law Sarah, his son Abram's wife, and his grandson Lot, his son Haran's child, and moved away from Ur of the Chaldeans. So it was Terah who got the vision to move away from Ur of the Chaldeans. He was headed for the land of Canaan. Now, Ur of the Chaldeans, that's Babylon, okay? And Terah was headed for the land of Canaan, verse 31. But they stopped at Haran and settled there. Terah lived for 205 years and died while still in Haran. Now, Terah means delay or station. Like, so we just picture the Israelites later on in the history of Israel. The Israelites are coming out of Egypt into the promised land, and they get delayed in the wilderness. They stop at all these really dry places. Haran means dry place or parched place. So we get this picture that Abraham's dad actually got this vision that he wanted to come out of Babylon and go to the land of Canaan. Like, he got a picture somehow that that was a good idea to go to the land of Canaan, but he got delayed. He stopped in a dry place and didn't go forward for 205 years. Well, God called Abraham to that very same destiny. He calls him out of Haran and from his father and tells him, I'm going to take you to this place, okay? So Genesis 12, 1 to 5, which is the very next passage. Like, we end in Genesis 11. Obviously, the chapter breaks. They were put in after this story was written. This was just a story that tells the story of Israel, part of the first five books of the Bible, okay? So Genesis 12, 1 to 5, the Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. He's calling Abram out of a place of safety with his father, a place that's becoming established as the place that they live. And he's saying, I'm calling you out to a place you don't know, but I'm giving you this promise. Anyone who helps you or blesses you, they're going to be blessed. Anyone who curses you, anyone who resists my plan to make you a great nation, I'm going to curse, okay? He says, I will make you into a great nation. I'll bless you, make you famous. You'll be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you, curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on the earth will be blessed through you. Now, this is when God's telling Abram, my redemptive plan is going to come through you. This is a big promise. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran, or when he left this dry place. He took his wife. Now, the reason that I keep pointing out like what these names mean and the delay and the dry place is that this same pattern repeats over and over and over throughout Israel's history. And once you get a picture of the pattern, you can recognize Israel, and you can recognize the way that the enemy of Israel, or the enemy of God, the way that Satan tries to delay things and tries to hinder the redemptive plan of God to give the earth back to mankind. Like that's the whole point, is that what was broken at the fall in Genesis 3, God says to Satan, he says, you're going to bruise the offspring of Adam and Eve's heel, and he's going to crush your head. Satan does not want that to happen. This is a prophetic unfolding of that promise all the way back in Genesis 3. And God selected a man called Abram, who not only had the same vision as his dad, but responded to it. That's the key to being Israel, is responding to the promise of the Lord. Okay, because not everybody who's genetically related to Abraham or Abram is Israel. In fact, you're going to see that the monotheistic religions, like they all claim Abram as or Abraham as their father, but you have to respond in obedience to the Lord and be genetically linked to be Israel. Okay, there's a difference. There's a reason that God selected Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And there's a wrestle of faith that is demonstrated through each one of these men's lives and even beyond. I mean, we'll see that in Hebrews 11, that Moses is tied to this. And like Joseph being in Egypt in the dungeon, like so many, Israel responds to God in faith. That's the point. Okay, so just to carry this out, and hopefully we'll get to this passage today, but maybe we won't. But John the Baptist comes on the scene. Okay, so Israel becomes a nation in Egypt, is brought out of Egypt, put in the promised land. David comes along as king of Israel, unites Israel, builds the temple. There's all the destruction of the temple. The people stop responding to the Lord in obedience. Then there's a 400-year famine of the word. But Israel continues to exist through this time. Israel becomes very confused about what it means to be related to Abraham. Like it's not just genetically being related to him, it's actually bearing the fruits worthy of repentance, like coming into a faith-based relationship with God and letting God establish this redemptive plan through you. That's the spiritual part of being Israel. Well, John the Baptist comes on the scene and he starts preaching repentance to get people ready to meet the Messiah, Jesus. And he says to them, "Don't tell me you're sons of Abraham. God could turn these stones into the children of Abraham. Bear the fruits worthy of repentance." Being genetically related to Abraham doesn't mean anything unless you've got a heart to obey Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, from God's redemptive purpose perspective. That doesn't, Jewish people are Jewish people. I mean, if you're genetically related to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you are. But for God's redemptive purpose for Israel, what we would call the remnant of those faithful. If you just think about Elijah, and he's facing off with the prophets of Baal, the false prophets of Baal, and he thinks to himself, "I'm the only one left that's faithful to Jehovah and responding, not bowing the knee to Baal." And God says, "No, I've kept a remnant for myself of 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal." And so there's this idea throughout history that God is always taking a people from a people as part of his redemptive purpose in the earth to make them a nation of kings and priests to the rest of creation. That's Israel. Israel is the promised nation of kings and priests. They will be a nation of natural-bodied kings and priests in the millennial reign, in the thousand-year reign of Jesus, to the other nations of the earth. They will be the conduit which the other nations of the earth will learn righteousness and obedience to Jesus' government for 1,000 years as Jesus rules and reigns on the earth. And so right now, in ever for the last 6,000 years, he's been taking a people from a people that want to agree with him in that. Now, the people that go all the way in the power of the Holy Spirit, we'd call them first the church, and then God's going to take a people from the church called the bride. The bride is going to be the first fruits of this reality of being kings and priests with the Lord. And they are going to minister in supernatural bodies, having been the ones who said yes. So the very first part of the church was those first disciples who Jesus took from the nation of Israel. All the first disciples were Jewish. Okay, and we're being grafted into that very same family. But it's important to understand where the root is. Like, who is the root that we're grafted into? And I'm referring to passages in Romans 10 and 11, which it looks like we're going to get to next time we're together. But this idea of Abraham responding, going beyond just the vision that his dad had, like Terah, his dad, had the vision to come out of Babylon and into Canaan. He just got delayed. He stopped. He stopped moving forward. He got to this dry place called Haran and stopped. But Abraham, he responded to the Lord and went forward. And God said, I'm going to bless anyone who blesses you, and anyone who holds you in contempt, I'm going to curse. Now, we as the church living in this moment in time, we have to understand that blessing Abraham and Isaac and Jacob's descendants doesn't mean being God to them. What it means is supporting them in their risky choices for faith, okay? And that's where I want to end, is actually in Hebrews 11. It isn't enough just to have the vision. Abraham is the one who responded to the vision in faith or risk. Now, we want to see the prophetic promise for the destiny of Israel and not interfere with that promise by trying to make it happen. We want to support Israel in her faith choices to respond to God. That's different than being a strong helper that does the things that only God can do. Okay, so Hebrews 11, 6 to 22. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. Now, Noah is before Israel. No one had been selected. Abraham is down the line from Noah, okay? But it starts with Noah. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. It was by faith, now we get to Israel, that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. It was risky. This is actually, we just read, it requires this risk and this unknown reality of, I trust God, will he really come through and do what he promised? So we want to support Israel in the risk, in the faith, okay? So it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as an inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God had promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. That's that family line of Israel. Jacob is actually the one who went from being Jacob to being called Israel. That's where Israel came from, was Jacob, the third in that line of succession, getting a name change. Okay, and we'll talk about that next time. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. Verse 11 of Hebrews 11, it was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise, and so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead, a nation with so many people like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there was no way to count them. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say, verse 14, say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for a country they came from, they could have gone back. So this is the idea. Helping Israel get something that the entire definition of Israel is waiting for God to give it to you, like in force and in politics and in strength, trying to give her that thing. What that makes a person is anti the plan of God, not pro the plan of God. All right, we'll talk more about this next time we're together. I just want to pray, Holy Spirit, I pray, would you give us wisdom and revelation when we look at Israel, that we'd see her through your eyes. In Jesus' name, amen.